Death joking. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Last night we introduced this lesson on faith for angelic participation. And we said then, of course, it was, it is because many believers, though we hear about angels, don't understand their role in our lives, that we are not maximizing their assignment to us. Several years ago, we had a catastrophic situation happen. A plane was at 43,000 feet, and both of the engines went out. All electrical, we had a total electrical failure. Pilots in the cockpit with flashlights, and the plane's falling. Serious. Yeah, see, plane's falling. And, and I was just getting ready to eat. Tina had just brought my food to me, and I was just getting ready to eat my food, you understand? And now all of this, and I'm looking out of the window. All you could see, of course, is blackness everywhere. Food fell on the floor. And and the plane's going down. Well, to me, immediately, you go into faith mode. Yeah, right. You don't go into fear. You die when you go into fear. And I began to call on my angels. Yeah. Well, Chad Rowe's wife and daughter was with us then, and thank God that nobody panicked. Terry and Tina was on the plane with us, but we all be faith people. Right. And you want to fly with faith people, right. Amen? So we didn't have to calm anybody down. Everybody, you know, was hunkered down in faith, you understand? And so, but I began to call on my angels. And so a couple of weeks ago when I was at Chad's church, his wife got up and gave a testimony about how she was amazed at the confidence that I had in that situation, that I began to talk to my angels. And so she said, she didn't know what to say, so she just, whatever I said, that's what she said. Yes, I know that's right. Well, angels showed up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So the Lord spoke to me really last year and says, I want you to begin to teach faith like I taught it to you, like you learned faith. Teach faith like you learned it. And so there's some things about faith that I learned that causes my faith to be effective and for me to have the confidence that I had. So I've taught them over the years, but God said not concentrate on them. So, you know, last year I began to teach on the power of the human spirit and how I understand the human spirit and how my human spirit has a lot to do with what happens in my life. And so this other revelation that we're teaching now, the revelation on angels, it is so clear, and I have so much confidence because of when I learn faith, I understood the role angels play in our lives. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. Therefore, when we look at this, we understand this new chapter is not necessarily the beginning, the next chapter is not necessarily the beginning of a new thought. So this same thought really carries over. And so there it says, verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore what? Remember, the context is angels. So he's talking about angels here in the second chapter. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What is he talking about? The things that we've heard about angels, the things that angels are responsible for, because they are responsible for ministering to those who are the heirs of salvation. Right, right. Who are heirs of salvation? We are.
Right, right.
So I understand that that's what he's talking about here, and he says we should not let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He said now, if we, you know, since you see the role of the angels is to help us, If we neglect this, we are not going to escape the hard places of life. Amen. So I got to understand, if I am going to live a life where I escape the tough places, the difficult places of life, it will be because of angelic participation. Can I get a better witness in the house? So last night, we began to talk about how God wants to do great things for us. Because I think you have to really go over and over and over the things that God really wants to do in your life. Otherwise, you will put a ceiling in your life. Of course, we know the scripture says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So God wants to do incredible, radical things for us according to our faith. And angels play an important role in every facet of our lives.
All right, that's good.
All right. Mark 9:23 says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so I got to understand this. Everybody say ceiling, ceilings. That's the limitations people want to place on you. Society places some limitations on you, and you got to understand you can't let them limit you. Amen? Yeah. Then, of course, your own belief system will limit you. Amen. But nothing's too hard for God. And then, of course, Satan want to impose some limitations on you by mental strongholds. But we got to get beyond all of those things. Now, so our ability or the possibilities of us having the exceeding abundantly above is based on, we said it last night, I'm reviewing, the ability of God to go to work. Okay. The ability of God. Everybody say the ability of God. Secondly, the accuracy of God's word, that his word is accurate. If he says he will do exceedingly abundantly above, he'll do it. If he says he'll increase you more and more, he'll do it.
Yes, sir.
If he says wealth and riches ought to be in your house, then that's what ought to be in your house.
Right,
see,
right,
but see,
right.
That's that ceiling right there, because you don't understand how you're going to get it done, and you don't understand, nobody else in your family has wealth and riches, and so you will talk yourself out of it.
All right, okay.
But I got to understand, it's based on his ability.
Right.
It's based on the accuracy of his word. Watch this. And it's based on angels doing his will. That's the key.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That angels are responsible for bringing the will of God to pass in your life. I didn't get a lot of amens on that. I thought I covered that last night. So I don't want to reteach last night. But I got to. See, tonight what I want to get into, more on how we're going to release angels in our lives.
Yeah.
Got it? I want to get into, let's look at the power of angels. See, I say this. If a person walked in the door and you didn't know anything about it, and that person says, listen, I will give you $50,000 if you go to the stage. Just go stand up on the stage. You're going to look at him and go, I ain't doing that. But if I tell you that,
right.
Y'all be bum rushing the stage.
Right.
Why? Because you know I'm able.
Right. Exactly.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the knowledge of the ability that I have,
that's
in
good.
A person
good.
Gives me confidence on them performing on my behalf.
That's good. Yeah.
So that's why we want to study angels, because you're going to leave with such confidence.
Yeah.
Are you listening
come
to
on,
me?
Come on.
Man, watch this. I'm just going to jump a little ahead of myself. Now, why is when my plane falling, I'm calling on my angels? Because the word says that my angels will hold me up. Now, I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible, see,
yes,
but I already know. That's one of their roles.
Right.
Uh-huh. That if I'm falling, they'll catch me.
Right.
And all I need them to do is hold me up.
Yes, sir.
Now, watch this now. Now, if they got to hold me up all the way and land me softly somewhere, that's fine. If they got to hold me up until the pilots get their act together and restart the engines, that's fine too. But right now, all I need is y'all to...
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's because I learned from the Word of God what they are capable of doing.
My God, that's
Amen, amen, and amen. Now, let's move on. So we said on last night that they are released several ways. They are released, we said, through our proclamations, our prayers, and through our pledges. And that was the focus on last night, that my pledges, actually, when I make a vow, this is what people don't understand, vows. And when I make a vow and pay my vow, we see all in the scripture where Jacob was visited by an angel. Why? Because the angel says, I'm here because of vows that you made. And not only just visited him, but gave him incredible revelation and a creative idea that brought prosperity in his life. Now listen, how many believe you're supposed to prosper? Yeah. All right, scripture says, you know, it's God's will that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prosper, right? The Lord said, the scripture says that he takes pleasure in the
prosperity.
All right, watch this now. The scripture says, we're going to look at it, but I'm just kind of, I got to get you warm. I got to get you flowing, your mind flowing. The scripture says that the angels do his pleasure.
Yeah, right.
Well, if his pleasure is to prosper me, then angels are involved in my
prosperity.
Come on, talk to me now. I don't have enough of y'all talking to me. The angels are involved. That's what they're supposed to do. So I got help in prospering. Amen? All right. Now, go with me your Bibles. I guess y'all ready right now. Go with me your Bibles to Jeremiah 33. Right now, we're going to look at this incredible profile of angels. Let's study angels, this incredible profile. Second point will be the importance of our proclamation to angels. And that's when we're going to talk about how we actually commission them. And then if we cover that, we'll be in good shape. That's just 2 points for tonight. We covered, but it's a whole lot of information. Now, we know from Scripture that angels predate mankind. Yeah, okay. Angels predate mankind. Before man was created, angels were already here.
Yes, sir.
In fact, when you read Genesis chapter 1, well, let's go there. Put your ribbon wherever you are. Where did I tell you to go?
Jeremiah,
well, put your ribbon there, and let's go to Genesis chapter 1, because angels are over here in Genesis, we're not going to do an exhaustive study on angels, but I do want to let you see something. Verse 1 says, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Now, I want you to understand, God did not create the earth void. He did not create it in chaos. The chaos that we see in verse 2 was the product of an angelic rebellion in heaven,
yes,
where Lucifer, an archangel, deceived a third of the host of heaven.
Okay.
And out of that rebellion, God had to, you know, cast him down.
Yes.
Follow me? But they were back here before man ever gets created.
Right. Okay.
See, that was where I'm, that was a whole world before the world we have right now.
Right.
You know, so when they go and talk about dinosaurs, that's real.
Right.
You can't argue with the bones.
Right.
But the bones was before Adam.
Right.
Are you listening to me? So when they start talking about how old the earth is, yes, it's more than the 6,000 or so years that man has inhabited it. Much more than that.
Okay.
Amen. But there was a whole nother world, and angels inhabited, and angels were running things. And then when Lucifer deceived the third of the host of heaven, and they were kicked out, and now we have two kinds of angels. You got some good angels, and you got some bad angels. Bad angels, what we call demons. Okay. So this is not a whole comprehensive study on demonology, but that's what we have. Some of the angels have been chained. They were chained because they stepped over their bounds and cohabitated with men and produced giants.
So
that was one of the reasons that the flood came, so God could clean up that mess. Watch this. So that means, watch this, angels have free will.
Right. Yeah.
That's good.
If they had no free will, they couldn't have messed up in the beginning.
Right. Good.
So the core of angels that we have now, let's go back to where I told you to go. Was it Jeremiah? So the core of angels that we have now are angels that are sold out in obedience to God.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Full of power, full of revelation. Sold out in their obedience to God. All right, and watch this. All right, first part, part eight. As the host of heaven, and that phrase, host of heaven, refers to the angelic company. All right, so as it says there now, verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered.
Okay.
I'm lifting that out of the context. So angels cannot be numbered. We do know one thing, if the devil deceived half of them, we do know that the good angels outnumber the bad angels 2-1.
All right. Come on, now. That's good.
Amen. Now, there are classes of angels. Everybody say classes.
Right.
Yeah. There are what the Bible calls the archangel class. What's that? What'd I say? I said, well, y'all let me go with that. Thank you, Lady B. They let me go all over the world talking about one half. You know, I'm always, all right, let's go back over there. If one third of the angels were deceived, then two thirds are sold out to God. Which means we have two sold out to God angels for every one bad angel. So, we outnumber the good, outnumber the bad, 2-1. Thank you, Lady B. I can't believe they let me get away with that. Yeah, and know the theologians be listening to me, trying to find fault. Hallelujah. Yeah, all right, now, let's get back. Let's make it. So we're talking about classes. Everybody say classes. All right, now, when we're talking about classes, we're talking about in the core of angels, there are different ranks. First, there are the archangels. They're the chief angels. That's like Michael and Gabriel and Lucifer. Now, Lucifer is a fallen archangel. The devil is a fallen archangel, all right? Then there are cherubims and seraphims. The cherubim is like the fiery angel that stands in guard of the tree of life. Cherubims are the angels that we see in Isaiah 6, where they are worshiping God, all right? But then there is the on occasion, everybody say on occasion.
On occasion.
On occasion, there is the angel of the Lord.
Right.
You gotta really look at the text of that when talking about the angel of the Lord appeared. Now that's like Jesus, the captain of the host appearing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now when he appears, he allows worship.
Yeah.
Other angels cannot be worshipped. But when he appears, like he appeared to Moses, he said, take off your shoe, this holy ground.
Yeah, right.
Now, when he talks, he doesn't talk like he's bringing a message.
Right.
He talks like I'm giving you direction.
Right. That's good.
Now, that's the difference when the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angels, the angel of the Lord, when he talks, he's not talking as though he's delivering somebody else's message. When he talks, he says, and I.
Right, right.
You follow me?
Yes, sir.
Now, he doesn't always show up, but when he does show up, that's a different type of angel.
Gotcha.
Amen.
Gotcha.
Now, the angel, that angelic host that we want to study is this host, this innumerable host of angels. Now, go back, go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, again, we want to emphasize how the company of angels is without number. Verse 22 again, Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Everybody say innumerable company. So you got to understand, man, we're talking about a vast number.
Yeah.
Now, the reality is they are everywhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
So I got to get you to understand. All right. Remember, I told you in 1600s, they discovered, they invented the microscope.
Yes.
When they invented the microscope, now they could see things that were not visible to the natural eye.
Right.
So it is when we read the Bible, we are now getting an insight into the invisible realm or the spirit realm
right.
that I cannot naturally see with my natural eye.
Okay.
So when the prophet comes and his servants come and knocks on the door, he says, "Ah, man of God, the soldiers are all around us." And he says, "Man, there's more with us than with them."
Uh-huh.
And the guy counts me, one, two, what's wrong? And then the prophet says, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Now, when his eyes are open and he sees all these, they were already there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
What this word is doing for you this week is opening your eyes so that you are keenly aware that you are not alone.
God, that's good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, now, go in your Bibles to Psalms 8, Psalms 8, and let's look at the characteristics of the angels. We're looking at the class. Of course, we talked about Satan and the demons. That's the fallen class of angels. We're not going to get into them this week. We know we have authority over them. We have power over them. And, of course, many times our angels have to do warfare with them.
Right.
And they always win.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, now, in Psalms 8, are you there? Psalms 8, what are we doing? We're building up your confidence in this heavenly host that is without number, that has been set to be ministers to you.
Right.
Amen. Who are heirs, minister to you and me, because we are heirs of salvation.
Right.
And look there, we'll start in verse 4. Here the angels, they're talking. He says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I'm in Psalms 8 and 4. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" All right? "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." Now, in the Amplified, it says, "You have made him a little lower than God." Because it uses the same word, Elohim, that it uses over in Genesis when it says, "Let us make man." Same word. Got it? So he's talking about how man has been made a little lower. Now, the theological community is debating whether it's saying angels are superior to man or man is superior to angel. Because it's saying he made you a little lower than God. When you read this as he made you a little lower than angel, you almost think the angels are superior to us. But according to Scripture, we are superior to them.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
They don't understand how God made this creature that he made that they must serve.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Hallelujah. Watch this. "Thou madest him to have," look at this now,
"yes,
dominion over the works of thine hand.
My God,
thou hast put all things under his feet."
Jesus.
My God. Now you see our superiority. I already told y'all, and when I go places and teach it and say, you know, God is not running the earth, folk all look at me strength. He gave man dominion.
That's right.
Man's got dominion.
Yeah.
And he put all things under our feet. Amen. Now. So when we look at angels, some of their characteristics. Number one, they are spirit beings. Spirit beings. Number two, the Bible teaches us they are very wise. Very wise. Let me give you some scripture references. I'm not going to go to them because I won't be able to finish if I do. Very wise, 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20. They are alert. In other words, they are watching. They are ready.
Yeah.
Now, when the Lord gave me the prophetic word for this year, he told me, "Tell the people that my angels are on high alert." Man, they waiting to get involved. And after I show you in the Word of God how to get your angel involved, if you don't get your angel involved, shame on you. And don't be hating on other folk who got their angels working for you.
Right, right.
All right? They're spirit beings, they're wise, they're alert, and they're strong. Everybody say strong.
Strong.
Now go to Psalms 103. They're very strong. They're strong. And so we have to get out of our mind that they are these little fat, naked babies on Valentine boxes. That's a gross misrepresentation of an angel. All right? Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. They're not just strong, they excel. Everybody said they excel. Yes, indeed. They excel in strength and do his commandments, carry out his word, hearken to the voice of his word. So I understand now that they excel in strength. They are very strong. Let me show you how strong. Go to Isaiah 37. Let me show you how strong. Isaiah 37. Now, when I look at this, I'm going to understand that, oh, man, my angel. I missed the testimony. I don't go back and get my testimony. Yeah. I've had several encounters with the angels that I knew of. One encounter, of course, was I'm riding along going from here to Shreveport, Louisiana, really going to Grambling. I had to go that way, go through Shreveport. And it was in the winter, snow. I don't know about, you know, driving in the snow, black ice and all that sort of thing. And I'm driving my regular speed. I hit a patch, black ice. My car starts spinning. It's spinning like this. And then I go spin through the medium on the other side. Now, I ain't got time to be praying no long prayer. Ain't got to pray. I ain't got no time, quote no point. Before the hills of order stood, the earth received her frame from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Through endless years, the same. Oh, God, I thank you. Here I am, knee bent, body bowed. Thank God my bed was not my cooling board. My cover was not my wound dish. I ain't got time for all that.
Right.
I just call Jesus.
Yeah.
Everybody say, and the angels. Yeah. My car is spinning. I'm looking up in the face of an 18-wheeler. The next thing I know, my car is in front of the 18-wheeler. I'm looking at him through my windshield, through my rearview mirror, and I'm going right along. Okay. They're alert.
Yeah.
And then let me get it. I'm gonna jump here. And they fast. They're fast.
Yeah.
Everybody say they're fast. Yeah. Now, all right, we look at verse 30, which is chapter 37 and verse 34. Verse 36, it says. Well, verse 35. And then he says, for I will defend this city and save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth, the angel of the Lord, the angel, not one, not more than one, and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. One angel slew 185,000 trained soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. I'm just talking about what your angel is capable of doing.
Oh,
glory to God. All right, now I jumped ahead and talk about how fast they are. Everybody say they're fast. Yeah, angels are swift and they're fast. And so go to Ezekiel 1. Just giving you some of that characteristics before we start releasing them. So I'll understand. I don't care what the situation is. My angels are equipped to handle a situation. Amen. All right, Ezekiel chapter 1, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is going to be a real easy one, all right? That's not my scripture. I'm going to have to give y'all that scripture later. Because I didn't write it down right. Y'all go along with me on that one, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I might get it for you for us all, but that's not the right scripture. Yeah. Because the scripture that I'm going to find is how they move like lightning. Where's that? There it is. And the living creatures run and return as the appearance of flash of light. Thank you. That's 14, verse 14. Thank you. Who found that verse from? Who said that? Who 14? Who said that? Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Help Bishop out. Bishop wrote 4 down, didn't write the 1. All right, now watch this. So everybody say a flash of light. That's faster than fast. That's how fast they're able to move. Amen. I'm glad they move fast.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wouldn't be here if it didn't move fast. I needed some fast action. I'm looking up at the 18-wheeler. The guy got his mouth open like, I'm about to run into this guy. Yeah. And the next thing I know is my car done straightened up, and I'm going at the right speed, and I'm looking at this dude in the rearview mirror. Now, one of my members said he saw that. He didn't know I was a pastor at the time, but he said he saw the situation. He's testified to that effect, that he saw this situation that happened. All right, so my angels are spirit beings. They're wise. They're alert. They're strong. They're fast. All right, watch this. And they can become visible.
Okay. Yeah.
Hebrews 13. Yeah, they can become visible. They're invisible, but they have the ability to become visible. Amen. All right. That's why you got to be careful. Amen. Because they can become visible. And so when they look at verse 2, it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." They have the ability to look just like humans. Amen. Now, when I've seen angels, they were tall and big. You got it? They had human features, but they were tall and big. When I was a little boy, that's how I got called into the ministry. Saw an angel. Angel talked to me. Told me I was to preach the gospel. That's why you can't talk me out of it. I know what I know. But he wasn't a little fat baby with no born there. Amen. And every time I've seen them, they've been huge. You got it? But they can also, and of course, you look in the scripture, you'll see that when the Lord was getting ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, that two angels came up to Lot's house. You got it? And they were good-looking men. They were so good-looking men that the homosexuals wanted them. No, you have to read the story. The homosexuals wanted those angels. Because the angel was in the house with Lot. And they had gathered outside the door. Lot said, "Listen, I give y'all my girls. And we don't want them girls. We don't want them girls." That's the Bible. I ain't making none of this up. That's the Bible. All right, now, and angels don't age. Everybody say they don't age. All right, now, go to Exodus 23. So let's talk about the commissioning of angels. We're in good shape. We're commissioned. Now we got a great appreciation for them because we understand more about them, how powerful they are, how wise they are, how strong they are. Got it? How they can appear and disappear, how fast they are, how ageless. See, he doesn't have to make any more angels. Because they're already too many to number.
Right.
They don't have to procreate.
Exactly.
He made enough when he made them.
Right. That's good.
Amen and amen. So now watch this now. We're going to talk about how to get them to go to work. Amen. Okay. So I appreciate knowing all of this, but Bishop, what I'm really here tonight is I got some issues. I need my angels to go to work right now. I need to know how to keep them on the job 24/7. That's what I need them to do. Yeah, because they don't sleep. No, they don't sleep. They don't need to sleep. Yeah, so they don't sleep. They don't get tired. I need help from my angels. Amen. Can I get a witness in there? All right, now watch this. Look at verse 20 now. Yeah, hunch the person next to you. So if they took the first half to get some sleep, catch up, now they take this next half to be on target with me now. All right, watch this. Verse 20. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Talking to us now, how to treat the angel. Because I understand he's not some mindless spirit. He has character. Got it? He's wise. He's a being. He has to be treated a certain way. Watch this. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. All right, so now he's talking about commissioning the angels, all right? Now, though God is in charge of commissioning angels, and they do his biddings, listen carefully, our faith actions are often the catalyst for them being commissioned.
Okay.
I do not want you to think that angels are waiting on you to tell them what to do like they're your flunky.
Right. See that.
God controls their commissioning however they respond. He responds to our faith in assigning them.
Okay.
Now remember, now Jesus is in the garden, and Peter cuts this guy's ear off.
Right.
Jesus said, Peter, put that sword up. Pick the guy's ear up. Put the guy's ear back in place. These guys, now they're getting ready to arrest Jesus. They said, no, you don't understand. I'm letting this happen because I could call my father, watch this, and he would send 12 legions of angels. Now, he didn't say, I'll call them and they'll come. But he says, because in this earthly body, he's got to submit himself to the spiritual order.
Right.
He says, I'll tell my father, and my father will send them.
Amen.
And let's do some calculations here. A legion consists of 6,000 men. So he says 12 legions would show up just like that. So he's saying, I could talk to my father, and 72,000 angels would show up like that. Now, and if one angel can kill 185,000, you do the math, it's somewhere like 13 trillion. Look, person says, don't you mess with me. Tell them, don't mess with me. Go on, tell them, don't you mess with me. All right. Now, let's get to work here. All right. The commissioning is most dynamic. Some commissionings are providential in nature. Everybody say providential.
Providential.
Yeah, they're providentially initiated. Some are personally initiated.
Personally.
Come on, y'all can talk about it.
Personally.
All right, number three. And then some commissionings are because of positional initiation.
Positional initiation.
Okay, let's see if we can understand this real quick. Now, when it comes to providential, that means they are assigned to deliver a message or to render judgment.
Okay.
And that assignment comes from God alone.
Okay.
Got it? That's a sovereign act. So when the angel shows up to talk to Gideon to deliver him a message, it's not because Gideon prayed that the angel would show up. But God wanted to get the message. That's providential.
Providential.
You follow me? That's providential. So many times, God initiates the angel coming on the scene because he has a message and a revelation he wants to give.
Okay.
All right. That's providential. You don't control that. That's God controlling that, all right? When the false prophet, I could call him a false prophet. Balaam.
Yeah.
Many, okay. Can I go in there? Okay. Balaam was first a real prophet, good prophet. He was a good prophet. And then this king says, I'm going to pay you to go curse Israel. First Balaam said, I can't do that. Then they offered him enough money.
Yeah.
And he said, well, let me see what I could do. So Balaam going down there to curse Israel, and God sends an angel.
Uh-huh.
This angel's on assignment to stop him.
Oh,
got it? And the angel, you know, the donkey he was riding saw the angel wouldn't move. Balaam was beating on the donkey. Then the angel, you know, materialized himself. And then he told him, he said, now what you're getting ready to do is wrong. But he says, now, they're going to pay you. I want you to go down. Now, what God had planned to do was, when he got there, instead of cursing them, he wanted him to bless them.
My God, yes.
Got it? But he went down there and messed up, and eventually he died as a false prophet, as a soothsayer.
Wow.
Yeah, all right? My point is, the angel going down was providential. Uh-huh. Everybody say providential. Okay. When Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed, it is because it's a providential act. And the angels are now executing judgment.
Right.
Everybody say providential.
Providential.
Now the ones you and I are interested in is the personal initiators. In other words, they are assigned, commissioned by God in response to our prayers and our proclamation.
Okay.
Now, Jesus says, I could call on my Father and he'll send 12 legions of angels.
Right.
His prayer.
Right.
All right? Now go back to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. And this is why it all fits together. And when I realize it, I'm going to make some changes in my life. Psalms 103, you there? Verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. When I'm saying out of my mouth, angels are listening.
Right.
And they go to work to carry out the word of God.
Yes, sir. That's good.
So what I say out of my mouth is important.
Right.
Now, what we're going to get to in just a few minutes is how I can provoke angels with my words. I jumped ahead of myself, but I ain't backing off, all right? But I just want to talk about personal. Everybody say personal.
Personal.
Yeah, with my prayers, with my proclamation, I really control the activity of angels in my life.
Okay.
They hearken to the voice of his word. When I'm giving voice to his word, I'm making faith confessions, I'm speaking in agreement with the word of God, angels are assigned. That's why what you say is so important.
Right.
Because your angelic host, your angelic assistants are listening for you to speak the word. But when you start talking this crazy talk, child, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
They can't move on that.
Right. That's right. Good.
All right? Now, positionally initiated. Everybody say position.
Position.
Now, watch this. Go to Psalms 91. I'm going to talk you through this first, but then we'll go to Psalm 91. We may shout a little on Psalm 91. But this position, when Jesus is in the garden, and then he says, not my will but thine be done, an angel comes and strengthens him. When he aligned himself with the will of God to carry out the assignment, the angel came right alongside him to help him. So when you have an assignment, glory to God, and you keep yourself positioned with your assignment, rest assured, angels will help you carry it out.
Yeah.
Hey, glory. See, when I realized that when God told me to have to believe for a church of 18,000, I didn't have to go out and try to get 18,000. I got my angels out there.
Hallelujah.
All of the training that I had, I was trained by Dr. E.V. Hill to go and knock on doors. I used to teach that training to churches all over the city. But when God says, this is your assignment, he says, I don't want you to do that.
Right.
You just stand flat-footed and teach that word.
Yeah.
The aroma of the word is going to go out into the community, and I will draw them.
Yeah. Jesus.
When you position yourself, ooh, I'm talking to somebody. When you position yourself where God told you to be, where God told you to do, you watch your angels go to work to help you. So it's important to be where God told you to be.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
If God told you to be here, I don't care how mad you get with an usher, how angry you get with somebody who won't let you do what you're supposed to do, you stay aligned and your angels gonna help you. I got to get a little excited. Calm down. All right, watch this. Anybody getting blessed?
Yes.
Psalms 91, watch this. Everybody say positional. Position. See, when I'm in the right position, angels are working on my behalf.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. All right, Psalms 91, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Everybody say position.
Position.
We're talking about position of fellowship with God now.
Yeah.
Watch this. There shall no evil befall thee. Amen. 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 How much evil gonna befall you?
None.
10,000 at 1,000 shall fall at thy side. I'm back up. And 10,000 at thy right hand, but what?
It shall not
come nigh thee.
Right.
All right? Because, we're back in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Four. Here's why. Four. He shall give his, talk back to me, his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands when your plane is falling. Y'all missed it. That's why I know he got to hold me up. He got a promise.
Come on.
Shout out by myself.
No, go ahead. Hey.
Everybody say, he'll hold you up. When folks think you ought to fall apart, he'll hold you up. Glory be to God. Yeah. He'll bear thee up in thine hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my deliverance. My fellowship with God. Are y'all getting this? My relationship with God causes the angels to be on high alert. So that these promises must come to pass in my life. Talk about me coming to church all the time if you want to. It don't bother me. I got a promise that if I'm fellowshipping with him and I made him a high priority in my life, then my life is a high priority to him.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's good, Bishop. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Okay, now. Now, let's talk about how we provoke him, all that good stuff. But now, he said he wants it. Now, don't play with the angel.
Yeah.
Don't provoke him, because they're not going to look over it.
Right. That's good.
Now, if they hearken to the voice of his word, then wrong words provoke them.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Gotcha. That's good.
Yeah, you're saying, you know, I'm about to die. I'm so sick, I'm about to die. I'm going to talk about teaching it later. See, angels think everything you say you won't.
Right.
Because that's what the word says.
Right.
See, the word says you'll be satisfied with the increase of your lips.
That's right.
Which means you're supposed to be wanting what you're saying.
That's right.
So when you start saying crazy stuff, angels go, well, that ain't my department. Yeah.
That's good.
But another angel is listening to you.
Yes, sir. Bishop, you better preach it.
The other angels, whose department that is?
Yes, his department. Yes, sir. That's good, Bishop.
Number two, everybody say, my angels, their commissioning is distorted through wrong words. All right, their commissioning is distorted through negative murmuring.
Okay.
Now, when the children of Israel, because you know, this is whom in Exodus, he was telling them, I'm sending my angel before you, and my angel's going to do all of this, but you know, don't play with them. He says, don't provoke them. Well, what provoked the angels was because of the murmuring. The people start murmuring and complaining. And when they start murmuring and complaining, judgment came. So murmuring, we get back quiet now, and complaining decommissions the angels. Watch how you murmur. That's why I don't want to be around people who murmuring, people who complaining. God can't help me. Now, y'all heard the testimony I talked about when years ago we was building this building. Guy around here talking about we wasn't going to finish, murmuring and complaining. Larry fired him.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
Had no choice.
Right.
Angels can't help us.
That's right. That's right.
If we entertain murmuring and complaining. So in your own life, murmuring and complaining going to stop your angels. Now, tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about the, I think I got seven things. When you're speaking, you're going to speak one of several ways. And sometimes it's just better to keep your mouth shut. I know you want to give your mate a piece of your mind, but sometimes you just better keep your mouth shut. You got too much on the line. You cannot afford for your angel to step back and fold his arm. You can't afford that. You got too many bills to pay.
That's good.
Luke chapter 1, unbelief. Unbelief will decommission my angel. Everybody say unbelief.
Unbelief.
Yeah, unbelief will decommission my angels. So Luke chapter 1, the angel shows up and talks to Zechariah, tells Zechariah that his barren wife is not going to bear fruit, and Zechariah goes off. In verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel said unto him, I'm Gabriel. They stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, this is what's going to happen for you. I can't afford to let you abort this situation. He didn't provoke the angel. He got Gabriel upset. Gabriel done told him that the boy, they were going to have John the Baptist, all that John was going to be doing, and Zacharias got the nerve to challenge him. So he said, you know who you're talking to? I'm Gabriel. I'm Archangel. He sent me. I'm Archangel. Ain't but three of us. And you got the nerve to challenge what I'm saying?
Look what he's saying.
And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I'm just showing you, angels are serious about what they do.
Right.
And boy, he ticked Gabriel off. Gabriel said, I can't force to let you abort this with your mouth. You already got negative mouths. I tell you what, I'm going to just shut you up. Everybody say angels are decommissioned because of my unbelief. All right, angels or decommissioned through my disobedience. And watch this. Now, what happened with Balaam? Balaam disobeyed the angel. And because of that, judgment came on him. So I just want you to understand, if an angel appears to you and you've got a direct command from an angel, don't play with it.
Right.
They don't play. Yeah. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
So see, the angel gave me a direct command that in the time, in the 80s, when there was a lot of, economic upheaval, he said, you expand. Don't listen to all that. Yeah. We had to start negotiating on this land, almost right at $2 million. Everybody else was saying, don't buy anything. We called the folk up and said, let's negotiate. And we got it for $344,401. Of course, y'all know it's worth millions today.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all could have got a better amen than amen. Amen, amen. So now, my proclamations are important to angels. I ain't gonna finish tonight, I already see, but that's all right, I got one night, because I told Bridget, if I finish tonight, I don't have to come back tomorrow.
Take your time, Bishop.
But I ain't gonna finish tonight, so I'm gonna have to come back tomorrow. Now, all right, go with me to the Bible, now in Proverbs chapter 18. So what I say is important to angels. And this is what I gotta drive home to you, because your angels are on high alert, and you gotta act like it, and you gotta talk like it. And you're gonna see some things speedily come to pass. Remember last night, angels can talk to other folk for you. Angels can invade other folk's dreams.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And talk to them on your behalf.
Yes, sir. Receive that in Jesus'
name. So you gotta release your faith first, remember? The promises of God are received by faith. But now you're releasing faith for angels to talk to folk. You negotiate on the house, you need an angel to talk to the owner. So they'll accept your deal.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
right. Hey! Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, amen. All right, watch this. Proverbs 18, 19. All of it ties together. All of the faith message ties together. So it matters what I say. Angels hearken to the voice of his word. All right. All right, Proverbs chapter 18, and I'll look verse 21. A man's belly is satisfied with the fruit of his lips. My spirit is satisfied with the fruit of my mouth. With the fruit of my mouth. All right? And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. I will be filled with the increase of my lips. What I began to say out of my mouth, that's what's going to fill up my life. Good or bad. So when knowing that, how in the world I'm going to be saying, I'm so sick, I'm about to die. I'm going to say nothing stupid like that. I don't speak what I feel, I speak what I believe.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be filled.
Yes. Hallelujah.
My life will be filled with what I say out of my mouth.
Yes, sir.
Man, I wish I could get this across to people.
Come on, go ahead. You got it, Bishop. Good.
Lord. All right, watch this. Death and life in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Yes. So if I understand this, my mouth is important. What I'm saying in my mouth, whether in prayer, whether I'm saying in my mouth, when I'm proclaiming it and making, oh, that's important. Angels are listening.
Yeah.
Everybody say angels are listening. Angels. All right, they're listening. All right, so we'll probably teach this tomorrow night because I gave myself 1 hour and I'm just about to my 1 hour. Did you get blessed tonight?
Yes.
What we're going to learn tomorrow is that that my words are more than sound that reverberate on the eardrum. They're spirit life. That's a whole spirit world that I'm able to enter into with my words.
Yes, yes, good.
So when I'm speaking words, it's more than just sound. When I'm speaking words, the Bible says they're spirit and they're life, I'm affecting the spirit world. Angels are listening. God is listening.
Yes, sir.
All right? My own heart is filled with faith because of what I say.
Yes, sir.
Because the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and then in my heart, which is my spirit. So there is an anchoring effect when I speak words. There's an activating effect. Everybody say activating.
Activate.
Yeah, my angels are dispatched with my words. Watch this. There's an acquiring effect. What do you mean? I have what I
say.
So y'all don't got tired on me. That's all right. I don't have about, well, I got a minute and five. I might take just a little more time. I want to get a start, stopping point. But I ain't going to take much longer but because y'all look like y'all going. You know, I preached 35 minutes and y'all got upset. He threw, nah. He threw. Everybody say, an acquiring effect. You have what you say. If you don't want it, boy, Lord Jesus, help. All right, watch this. All right, there's an aborting effect. What do you mean, aborting effect? That I'm able to stop demonic forces with my mouth.
Yes, sir.
He casts out spirits with his word.
Right.
Watch this. There's an authoritative effect. That is, I exercise my authority in the earth with my mouth.
Right.
Yeah. Says, and it shall obey thee.
Right.
All right. Then there's an agreement effect. Everybody say agreement.
Agreement.
Yeah, if two of us shall agree, as touching it, it'll be done. So with my mouth, I can put myself in agreement and activate the power of agreement. Yeah. Amen. Now you got to turn Ephesians 4 and then I'm going to let you go. Because we are angels are subject to our spoken words. The angel tells Daniel, I'm here because of your word. The three Hebrew boys, when they were in trouble, they said, our God is able.
Right.
And he will deliver us.
Yes.
The angel showed up. The angel of the Lord showed up. And that's why the king, when he looked in the fire, he said, I thought we put in three. But I see four.
Yeah.
And the fourth one's strange looking. Now, I don't know how he understood it, but he says that he looks like the son. Are you listening to me? Because the Lord showed up.
Yes,
are you listening? I'm just trying to get across to you. In all of these situations, what we see is somebody saying something and then the angel showing up.
Yes, sir.
So that's why Paul warns us. In Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter what I tell you? Chapter 4, you go to chapter 4, watch this, and then I'm through. I'm going to give you a confession and I'm through. Ephesians chapter what?
4.
Now, let's look there in verse 22. Ha, watch this. He says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, quit lying. Putting away lying.
Right.
Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. It goes on to say, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I got to understand, when corrupt communication comes out of my mouth, I tie my angel's hand. And that other angel that you don't want working in your life, he gets license to go to work. That's why it says your mouth will give place to the devil. We believe in a supernatural existence. Everybody say, I live supernatural. Yes, and it's because I live supernaturally that when the planes start falling, I didn't panic. They'll tell you, wasn't no panic. I mean, plane falling. Terry's trying to get back to his seat. He has to crawl because the plane is in this position. Ain't no panic. I got a promise. Shout all by myself. I believe this. See, it ain't like, you know, this is my profession and that is what. No. This has been tried and proven. I didn't know I was going to need it at 43,000 feet, but I'm glad I'm here to tell you that it will work. Hey, glory. Everybody say, it may not make sense, but it makes faith. When Moses stretches his rod over the Red Sea, it does not make sense, but it makes faith. When Joshua was walking around the wall of Jericho.
You better preach.
It does not make sense, but it makes faith. Hallelujah. When Gideon goes to war with 300 men against 135,000, it does not make sense, but it makes faith. When Jesus starts talking to the storm, it does not make sense, but it makes faith. When he calls Lazarus from the grave, after him being dead for 4 days, it does not make sense, but it makes faith. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, in your own life, there are a lot of things that will not make sense. Tithing does not make sense, but it makes faith. Sowing seed don't make sense, but it does make faith. Repeat after me, Father, in Jesus' name. I declare I overcome every faith situation with disciplined faith because I know My supernatural future is at stake. Thank you, Father, for courage and the wisdom to see beyond the limitation of the natural realm into the realm of the spirit where my help comes from. I repent for moments of murmuring and complaining and make a covenant with my mouth to speak only those things that release angels to work on my behalf. I thank you, Father, that angels are encamped all about me, and they're ready. They witness my obedience. Hear me give voice to the word, and they speedily hearken to bring your will to pass. I totally trust in you and have confidence in you. I have total peace because my dependence is on your grace. And you guide my steps, commission my angels to move swiftly to bring your will to pass in my life. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. The word has fallen on good ground, and it does produce fruit in Jesus' name. Everybody repeat after me. Dear God, I know without Jesus I'm lost. I believe your word. If I ask you to save me, come into my heart, you will. Jesus, give you the throne of my heart. Turn my back on my old way of living. And from this day forward, I choose to please you with my life. Now fill me with your spirit and power so I can live a life pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a shout. It's offering time.